Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Psalm 78. I'm going to start there tonight. Psalm 78, it kind of goes along with what the word of the Lord there was. I'm going to talk to you tonight about limiting God. Actually, we could say not limiting God. Amen. But what it, you know, people think, you know, God can't be limited. Well, wait a minute here. He's not having his way in everything. If he was, everybody in heaven will be saved tonight. He's not having his. He's not having his way. Amen. Now we know that eventually he's going to have his way. Right? And could God, well, God could run over all of us. We could be greasy spots before the night's over. But that's not him. That's not the way he works. The Bible says we're co-laborers with God. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit in the New King James Version, where the King James says comforter, calls him the helper. Helper means he's not going to do it all. He's going to help. That means you're going to have to initiate something, and he'll help you, right? A helper is there to help somebody else. And when we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in to help us. That's what he's there for. He's not just there just to be there. He's there to help. And you know, we need help. Amen. The old song, help, I need somebody. Not just anybody. I need help from heaven. How about you? All right. Psalm 78. This is talking about the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and were in the wilderness. It says in verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God. In the King James and other versions use this word, and limited the Holy One of it, the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. Now let's talk about this. Let's talk about limit. What does limit mean? You know, sometimes you have limiters, guys that mechanically inclined. I don't know whether they use stuff like this today or not. It's been a long time since I messed with mechanical stuff. But we used to have on our engines called governors. And it would govern how fast, how many RPMs, and so forth. The word limit means this. The word limit means to allow, to only allow, to go so far, to set boundaries. So the children of Israel would only let God go so far. They set boundaries. God's able to do this, but not this. He brought us out, but can he get us in? Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. I don't know anybody else that's done that besides Jesus. Amen. But he sunk. He started to sink. Jesus reached down, grabbed him, and brought him back, got him in the boat. Now, I don't know how you think about this, but to me, just getting out of the boat, I'm pretty impressed by that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nobody else did. He did. But Jesus said, O thou of little faith. I'm thinking, if you walked on the water for 3 feet, that I call that pretty good faith. You know what I'm saying? If you made it 3 feet, it's like, that's not bad. But Jesus called it little faith. I saw something one time. Little faith gets out, but it takes great faith to stay out. See? Anybody can start. See? But who can stay out there when the waves are high, when the wind's blowing? That's where it takes great faith to stay out there when all hell's breaking loose. Oh, y'all going to preach with me tonight? I mean, you got to know sometime all hell breaks loose. But great faith stays out there. Anybody can get out. But you got to stay out. Everything that serves talk about, we shall reap if we faint not. The prophetic word there about, you know, you got to just stay. You got to keep your faith engaged. Amen. I love what Brother Hagin used to teach. He'd say, keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep it on. Keep it turned on. So to limit, they only let God go so far. They limited him. They only let him. They didn't even let him get him in. Now, you understand that God told them in Exodus, he said, I'm going to send an angel with you to keep you in the way and bring you in the place. Yet that angel couldn't get him in. Could he? They didn't get in. But God said, I'm sending one to help you. But because they limited God, see. Now, we don't want to limit God. How many know that? So let's talk about limitless, okay? Limit means to only allow to go so far to set boundaries. Limitless means having no limit, boundless, immeasurable. See, it really isn't a matter of what God can do. The man with the demon-possessed child said, hey, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus threw it right back on him. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What did Jesus say? There's no limit to this. The limit's your faith. Your faith's the governor. Your faith's the limiter. What can you believe for? Now, we have to know that we're not, you know, we grow, right? We grow in faith. The Bible talks about our faith growing. So we have to be honest with ourselves where we're at. Right.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? You know, financially, my faith's in a certain place. It's bigger than it used to be, but it isn't as big as what it could be. I remember years ago, we'd go look at houses, Phyllis and I, and we'd go in these houses, and now I'm a faith guy, but I got to admit, I could just, you know, how many of you know, you got two lives going on, you know, in your life. You got the one on the outside and the one on the inside. And the one on the inside is going to determine the one on the outside. So we go look at these houses, and I got to be honest with you, I think, I know God can do anything, but boy, I just can't see me in one of these places, you know. I mean, not that it was a $1 million mansion or anything, nothing like that, but it's just, I'm a country boy. Amen. The house I grew up in cost $6,500. Of course, that was 1960-something. Amen. When it was bought. And, you know, Dad added on to it, did things to it. But still, that, you know, we weren't rich. I guess we weren't poor. We ate pretty good, but, you know, we weren't rich, you know. You know, Dad worked two jobs, and I thought he just liked to work. As I got older, I thought, he's trying to make a living for himself. But you're young, you don't know that. You just think, why do you work all the time, you know? So, my faith had to grow. I remember some of those houses that we looked at in the beginning days, you know, and I think, I don't know if I could ever be in one of those places. Well, I've been in those places and beyond. But it didn't. I had to grow. Not that that's important or not that that matters. It has nothing to do with your spiritual life. It's got to do with your comfort. You can live without a garage door opener. Maybe you don't know that, but there's still life after the garage door opener quits. You got arms. How many know you can go out there and pick? We used to do that. How many know that?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm thankful for garage door openers, all right? When you come home and it's raining, we don't have to get out in the rain any longer and lift that thing up. But I remember days we didn't have that kind of stuff. Are you kidding me? I didn't even know that. We didn't know they made it. It's a blessing, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? How many know you can live without air conditioning? I used to. Hey, I'm going to give you one. This will really challenge you. You can live without an indoor toilet.
Yes, you
It's not fun.
I'll never know.
I know. She'll never know, but I know. I used to stay at Grandma's house. And she didn't have any indoor toilet. You had to walk the planks. They didn't have sidewalks. They put boards down for you to walk out to the outhouse. And it was a two-seater. I never figured that out. I thought, well, there's some experience that shouldn't be shared. We believe in sharing, but not everything. I laid around and found out there was a reason for that. It wasn't, no, I won't go into that. But anyway, anybody ever been around, you know there's a reason for two of them. One of them fills up. Let's move on. Praise the Lord. How many are going out to eat afterwards? Praise God. All right, listen now. So, you know, there's things that, yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with our spiritual life necessarily, but God just wants to bless us. I don't think we realize that. Don't you want to bless your children? Sure. You know, sometimes in the years past, the grandkids would want a certain kind of vehicle or something like that. One of my granddaughters one time, she probably doesn't now, but wanted a Jeep. And I so much wanted to go buy her a new Jeep, but I just didn't have the money at that time to go buy her a new Jeep, you know. I just didn't have it to do it with, you know. I could have bought her a used one, but it would have come from the Army surplus store, you know, or something like that. Still green, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean. No roof on it or anything, just, you know. Oh, stick, you know. But you understand that I'm just talking about how your faith, it goes in levels, see. And so you can't get discouraged because you're not at a level where you'd see somebody else at. You just operate where you're at, where you're comfortable at. You got to ask yourself, what do I really believe? Amen? So let's talk about this, limiting God, just for a little bit. See, limitless means having no limit, boundless, immeasurable. In other words, I just believe God can do, well, the Bible says it like this, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, right? He can do that. So, I'm not going to limit God with what He can bring into my life and what He can bless me with. Yeah, I'm a missionary that I know, known him for years. He was a missionary in Mexico. He started 10 churches there. And then he was a missionary over in some Muslim countries. And he talked about a pastor that had been there for several years. I'm thinking 7 years, if I remember right. And he had 7 people in his church after all that time. And 5 of them were family, his wife and kids. So he had 2 other than them. But one day he was shaving. He had a little house right next door to the church. And one day he was shaving, and this guy knocked on the door and said, "I heard you believe in praying for the sick." And he said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Well, I brought some sick people for you to pray for." And so he went and prayed for them, and the Lord touched him and healed him. And the next Sunday, listen now, he had 700. Wow. They spread it through the village. We got healed. And those villagers came to his church. Y'all listening to me? God can do suddenlies. How many know that? I mean, you know, and sometimes his suddenlies have been cooking for a while. Right? Sometime. Like one minister said one time, he said, somebody said to him, he said, "Man, your ministry took off overnight." He said, "Yes, it did, but it was the longest night I ever spent in my life." He said, "This was years happening. What you saw took off overnight, but you didn't see what God was doing behind the scenes all those years when nobody was coming hardly to the meetings. You didn't see that. You just saw the bam, the bang." How many know? That's what the Lord's been telling us tonight, that there's coming some pop. It's going to start popping. Remember that? A bang. It's going to start popping, man. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what all's going to pop, but praise God, it's going to be good. Yes. Don't you just love to smell microwave popcorn cooking? I mean, sometime I come into a church and they're cooking popcorn, man. I mean, oh man, that smells good. Let's just have a popcorn party, church party tonight. Something's smelling good. Praise God. It's something's happening. Something's going to start popping. Amen. So there's a divine principle in the Word. The Bible tells us, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, the attitudes to be, He said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. See? So that's a divine principle. We determine how much God is going to do in our life. Not God. Remember what Jesus said? What would you have me do? Remember the blind man, Bartimaeus? I think it's in Mark 10 or Matthew 10. He says to Jesus, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. And the guy's blind. He's got a beggar's garment on. Official government beggar's garment. Okay? In those days, if you were a beggar, you got official garment, coat, jacket thing that revealed you were certified by the authorities. You weren't just a fake. So he's got this beggar's garment on. He's blind. And he stops Jesus. And Jesus said, what would you have me do? What do you want? Now, the guy's blind. But Jesus is saying, what do you want? Are you wanting some money? Or do you want me to give you a fish or you want me to teach you to fish? You want some money? Or do you want me to heal you and you won't have to be a beggar? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Notice Jesus didn't say, according to my power, be it done. He said, according to your faith. The power is not a problem. God doesn't have a power problem. I mean, there's never any blackouts in heaven. They don't have ice storms up there. It knocks the power out. Remember that? We went through that as a church, you know. Some of y'all were without power for a week or 2 weeks several years back when we had that big ice storm. I mean, that doesn't happen in heaven. God said, I'm sorry we had a storm up here. Can't help you today. No power. I mean, there's always power, right? He's always got power because God is the power, right? He's the power source, see? And His power is available everywhere. I think the Lord told Brother Hagin one time, said, every hospital room, my power is present in that room. It's there. Why? Because God's there. He fills heaven and earth. But somebody has to tap into the power. Remember the one with the issue of blood? Jesus said, who touched me? Now, He's in this midst of a multitude. Everybody's banging into one another, you know, like a crowded elevator. They're all together, you know. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples go, duh. You know, just what you don't want your kids doing. Duh. Everybody's touching you. That's not, you know, everybody's bumping into you. That's what I should say. Everybody's bumping into you. Jesus said, no, I don't want to know who bumped into me. I want to know who touched me. Somebody jerked power out of me. What caused that? Notice Jesus didn't emphasize the power. Although the Bible says power went out of him, made her whole. He didn't emphasize the power. He emphasized the faith. He said, daughter, your faith hath made you whole. Because the important thing for her to know and for us to know is what caused the power to flow. Not that God's got power. Anybody with a half a brain ought to know God's got power, right? That's not hard to figure out. Look at the universe. God's got power. So it's not a matter of God's got power. What we need to know is how do we receive the power from Him? And that's by faith, right? That's how we receive the power. So it's our faith. But we can limit God. Well, God, I know God could heal me of a headache, but this is cancer. How many know God can take care of cancer just as easy as He can a headache? See, we've categorized things. You know what I'm saying? And certain things put fear in people. See? But if you don't let it put fear in you and you stand in faith, Jesus said nothing's impossible. Remember one time Jesus told His disciples, He said, with men, this is impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. I think that's in Mark chapter 10. I have underlined in that verse, I've got with men, impossible. I've got that circled. With men, impossible. And I've got with God circled and then possible. With men, impossible. With God, possible. Right? Stuff we find impossible, God does not find impossible. How many know, I heard this, I couldn't believe this. They asked college students years ago, do you think this was, I mean, I don't remember when it was, but it's been several years ago. They asked college students, they took a survey, do you think that God knows about radar? They said no. He's too old, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't know about computers and stuff. Like, he's just too old. He's just, you know what I'm saying? You got to give that phone to the kids if you want to figure it out. How many know God is way beyond any technology we have? He just knows what everybody on earth is thinking at the same time. Everybody can ask him for something, and he hears everybody at the same time. He said, I don't understand how you do that. Well, that's because he's God, right? You have a finite brain, and this is an infinite God. Amen. And so, he's way beyond. God's the one that made the bat that we got radar from. All right, so he already put it in the bat. As you know, the Bible, you know how. The law of relativity, remember, how many remember that law? So, yeah, you get pulled over for that, right? You break that one. The law, how many know what the law of relativity is? The law of relativity, yeah. Time and space. Anybody go to school? There's no separation of time and space, right? They can't be separated, time and space. All right. So who came up with that? Jimmy Carter? No. No, that was the internet, brother. He said Al Gore. Einstein. Yes. Einstein. Boy, Pike County had better schools than you guys have. I can tell you that right now. Einstein. All right, did you know when you read the Bible in the Greek, the Bible in the book of Hebrews already talked about it before Einstein was ever even thought of. It uses the word eons, time and space. Talks about the ages. So he's way ahead. Amen. Interesting, isn't it? You find like stuff in the Bible that we think we discovered, but you read it in the Bible, we're gonna get lost here if we keep talking about this stuff. But I'll just tell you this much. We have to understand that we can't limit God by our thinking, by what we think could happen or might happen. God's bigger than that. I said God's bigger than that. Amen. And so we got to watch that we don't limit God. We don't put limiters on him. And he will do, if you're hungry, you're thirsty, you're going to get filled. Right. Look at this. We got a little bit of time. Go to 2 Kings. I want to read this. I was reading this one day, and the Lord asked me a question. 2 Kings chapter 2. It was a really good question. I had to really do some thinking about, boy, you got me on that one. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Have you found it? Yeah. Verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, when you study the Bible and you look at the miracles that Elijah did, there's 16 of them. 16. When Elisha died, he had 31. 31. But and they put him in a sepulcher, a tomb, During a war, a young man died, and they threw him in the sepulcher of Elisha on his bones, and the guy was raised from the dead. God said, I owe you one. There's 32. 32. So he asked for a double portion of the Spirit. Now, Elijah had something going on, I'm telling you. But he said, I want double what you got. Listen to what he said, verse 10. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. I mean, you can't give what you don't have. You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. Now, I was reading this one day, and the Lord said, when is the last time you asked me for a hard thing? He didn't mean hard for him. He meant hard for me. It was going to stretch my faith. I mean, the Bible says, when God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son. You know what I'm saying? They already had figured out a way to do it by Hagar, Ishmael, right? They're still paying for that mistake, right? And God said, no. Sarah's going to bear you a son, because God told him you're going to have a son. Abraham goes, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. All right, I've already got this taken care of, God. I got Ishmael. That's good enough, right? And I said, no. He told them, he said, you're going to have a son. Sarah's going to have a son. I think this is Genesis 18, I believe. The Bible said Sarah laughed. That's what it said. She laughed. In other words, she thought, am I going to have pleasure? I'm old, and my Lord, he is old. Are we going to have pleasure? I mean, we're not even sleeping in the same tent, God. I didn't understand that as a kid. When Grandma slept in one bedroom, Grandpa slept in the other bedroom. And as you get older, you find out all you do is keep each other awake. It's called snoring. You know what I'm saying? Come on. You're old enough to know this. The kids are gone. Romance is gone. You know what I'm saying? That's what Sarah's saying. She's saying, look, am I going to have pleasure being old? My Lord's old also. She laughed. And God said to Abraham, why'd Sarah laugh? And Sarah goes, well, I didn't laugh. He goes, yes, but you did. Yes, you did. He said, this time, next year, you're going to have a son. And he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, let me tell you something. If God can cause a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman to start a family, I believe there's not anything too hard for him. I believe he can heal our bodies. How many know that? If he can do that. And he made Sarah. I don't know what he did to Sarah, but he made her over, because after that, a king wanted to take her and put him in his harem, and she's 90 years old. And he fixed Abraham good. Sarah died. Abraham got remarried and had 5 or 6 more kids in his hundreds. That's 4 Viagra. Amen. God fixed that boy. How many know that? This is in your Bible. How many know there's a lot of stories in your Bible that are kind of, maybe should have some ratings on them. I don't know. But they're in there. God didn't hide some stuff, did he? Amen. So, when's the last time you asked God for a hard thing? Not hard for him. See, he said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you mighty things that you know not. Let's close with this. You don't have to go here, but Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you have to understand, your thoughts set your boundaries. What's God going to do in my life? Well, what are you thinking? When Jesus went to Nazareth, they limited him because of his unbelief. Said he could there do no mighty work. Same Jesus that later on in the same chapter, multitudes got healed. But they couldn't do it there. Why? Because of their unbelief. They're thinking. They're not thinking right. See, one time Jesus, in Mark 8, Jesus went to pray for a man that was blind, and he grabbed him by the hand and led him out of the town. He put his hands on him and said, what's happening? He said, well, I see men as trees walking. So that's still not good. So he put his hands back on him again. And he said he saw everybody clearly, see. And then Jesus told him now, and listen to what he told him. He said, don't go back into the town. Don't go back into that town. And don't tell anybody in that town. Why did he do that? Because of their unbelief. Their unbelief would have talked this man out of his healing. There's so much unbelief there. It's Bethsaida, and when you read about Bethsaida, Jesus said, woe unto it. It's full of unbelief. So he had to get him out of that unbelief, away from all of that, because that was limiting God. That was hindering the power. He got him out of that, laid hands on him, had to do it twice because of all that unbelief, got him healed, and he said, don't go back in that town, and don't you tell anybody in that town you got healed. Don't do it. One time, Jesus walked in there. I think it was Jairus' daughter. He walks in there to pray for her. They're all in there making a do because she's dead. Jesus goes, oh, don't weep. The damsel's not dead but sleeps. And they all started laughing at him. What did he do? He ran them all out, made them all get out. Get out of here, ran them all. Why? Because there was too much unbelief. It would hinder, it would limit what God could do. He got rid of the unbelief and raised her from the dead. You have to know sometimes we have to run some unbelief out of our life, amen? And we got to sometimes run unbelieving people out of our life. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, and they went to spy out the land, how many 10 spies brought back a bad report, didn't they? What did they say? We're grasshoppers in their sight. It called an evil report. We got to get rid of the grasshopper mentality. Because the reality was this, when they finally did get over there and they sent those spies to Jericho, Rahab told those spies, the people of the land, their hearts melt. They faint because of you. They've heard about your God. They weren't thinking they were grasshoppers. Y'all hearing me? The devil doesn't think you're a grasshopper. But if you do, you limit God. It's an evil report. It's a report beside what God said. See, it doesn't matter what God thinks. Doesn't matter what the devil thinks. It matters what you think. God's already got it said and the devil can't do anything about it. But now it's up to you to say, in or out. Amen? Jesus said new wine must be put into, the King James says bottles, but it means new wineskins. You got to put new wine in the new bottle. See, you put the new wine in the old wineskins and they're stiff and they'll crack and burst. Once that wine starts fermenting, it expands. It produces bubbles and it'll bust that wineskin. So you got to have a new one that's stretched and it's oiled down. That's all Jesus was, all Jesus is saying there. One thing he's saying is this. If you're going to have new things from God, you got to have some new thinking about you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to change the way you think about things and start thinking bigger. Enlarge, like Isaiah said, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. For you're going to break out on the right hand, and you're going to break out on the left. But you got to enlarge your thinking first. And that's done by meditation in this and spending time with the author of this book. And hanging around people that think a little bit bigger. Amen. Don't hang around people that think. You love them, help them, but don't hang around people that think low. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it's up to us. I know people, religious people, don't believe this. They think it's all up to God. What happens in your life is all up to God. Are you kidding me? If it's all up to God, you and I'd be a lot more blessed than we are today. Amen. I mean, all those dumb mistakes we made, that wasn't God. Anybody ever made any? Yeah, sure. Everybody. Get your hands and your feet up, all right? We all have. I mean, that wasn't God. That was us. That was on us. Amen. But we don't want to limit God. We're coming in a time and a season we need to hear this message where we need to know that God's getting ready to break out on us. Like He said to that prophetic word tonight, like He said all service long, He's getting ready to break out on us. And if we limit Him through our, you know, this is the way it's always been. You know, I came from a poor family. You know, a nobody. How many know? That's what Gideon said. I'm the smallest, you know. My family's the smallest, you know, in the tribe and so forth. And God said, you're a mighty man of valor. He's like, who, me? I'm hiding behind a wine press. You got to change you got to call yourself and think of yourself the way God thinks about you. God told Abraham, you're a father of multitude. And he's like, wow, yeah, okay. Amen. I'll just say this to you and we'll close. I hope you got something tonight, but I'll just say this to you. When God told Abraham to change his name, that was not a small thing, because now everybody knows, they knew what the names meant. You know, we just name people whatever we like, you know, whatever we think about. It doesn't mean that much in our society. You know, you just think of a cool name to name your cat, your dog, your kid. Amen. But they thought about things, see. They named them on purpose. They named them with a purpose, see. You see what I'm saying? And so that culture, they knew what your name meant. Amen. So when Abraham started calling it, when Abram, his name was Abram, when he started calling himself Abraham, he's telling everybody he ran into, I'm a father of a multitude. And they're like, that old man ain't got a kid. Father of a multitude? My gosh, he's in his 90s. He's pushing 100. Father of a multitude. How many know, he probably got some snickers, but not too much because he was the richest guy in the whole area. But behind his back, I'm sure he got some persecution. Let's all stand up. Thank God for the word tonight. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.